Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Barton Hahn sitting in with J. Will. And while I would love to talk about how the New York Knicks last night, terrible officiating.
Let me guess, you're going to complain about an officiating call.
I'm not going
to
do that. No,
it seems to be a pattern.
A lot of headlines happening in New York right now. The Knicks certainly are one of them. But the Giants are making headlines too, guys. The Giants are making headlines. We talked about it earlier in the show, Bart, with some of the moves they've made so far in free agency, in trades. But the pressure that's added now, it's sort of that indication that are the Giants ready now to take that step, as they showed you something. They showed you life at the end of last season by making a push. Maybe if Nate Sudfeld doesn't come in the game, do they make the playoffs again? What the Eagles decided to do at the end of the season there, which was a very questionable move. And a lot of people in New York did not want to, was not happy about that, but we move on. And so did the Giants. They land a free agent that a lot of people coveted. Bart, you said was a big time free agent. You were excited about it.
Yeah.
I know he left Etoile.
But,
Lyon. Mm-hmm. But a 4-year, $72 million deal for Kenny Golladay. It's worth up to $76 million, includes $40 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, again, he became Detroit's top target, top wide receiver, and he had Matt Stafford throwing to him most of the time. He was a pro, that's right, pro bowler. He has had injuries this past season, but the talent certainly is there. So, adding him, as we talked about this earlier in the show, but let's revisit when it comes to now just specifically the Giants. Mm-hmm. You add a piece like that. Kyle Rudolph also added to this with the experience that he has and still the talent that he has, along with the return of Saquon Barkley to full health, you hope. Daniel Jones with another year under his belt, starting to show you a little something. A coaching staff that came in last year and reset the culture there. Yeah. I really like Joe Judge, by the way. I really like him, and I like how they reset the culture there with the Giants. So with all of this, and I asked you, are they a bit of a sleeper team in the NFC East? But with all that in mind, all eyes have to be on Daniel Jones now. Are you the guy this year? We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's on Danny Dimes. It's on Saquon Barkley, too, because they have to figure out if they're going to pick up that fifth-year option. I'm sure he's looking at the McCaffrey money and hey, well, I should be paid like this. Well, he hasn't lived up to expectations. He's been good. He showed flashes. But these are two picks from Dave Gettleman that are – kind of questionable, right? Because remember, he took Saquon Barkley second overall, and look who he passed up. Josh Allen, who was a franchise quarterback. Lamar Jackson, who was a franchise quarterback. Baker Mayfield is somewhere in the middle. So he had
Baker was already taken before the Giants picked
him. Right. Sam Darnold,
Josh Rosen. So really, it's the first two you mentioned are the ones that you might kick yourself about.
So he has to make that decision. If Danny Dimes, he can't prove Dave Gettleman right, you know, say that, hey, listen, we got our quarterback and we got a yellow jacket, as Dave Gettleman wants to say. I think Dave Gettleman is all in. I think he's under the pressure. And I believe this is his fourth year as the general manager. Mm-hmm. He has to win. He's throwing around money that you've never seen him throw around, right? You think about the Leonard Williams, $21 million for a guy that's a good player. Mm. But, I mean, that's putting him slightly below – Aaron Donald,
he was fantastic last year. That defense started coming around, and he was a big part of it.
Yeah, but,
and they gave up a lot for him, so you kind of feel like we got to establish him as our guy.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's Dave Gettleman saying, I have to sign this guy. He couldn't let that guy walk away after giving up a third and a fifth. Uh-huh. So now it's all about, okay, listen, Daniel, you got everything you need around you. Let's see that you can produce. But if they don't win that division, if they don't go to the playoffs, because everybody, I think, in that division has got a lot better. And, yes, you know, this team competitively, and especially Nate Solder coming back and them convincing him to take a pay cut. Let's see if he can be with Thomas and give them two, you know, solid tackles on the outside so that Daniel won't get those strip fumbles, because that's usually where it happens. Pressure from the outside. He doesn't feel the pressure, and he gets the ball stripped out of his little junior whopper hand. So, like, we're going to see if Daniel Jones is the real deal. Right, this is put up or shut up year, and in year three, we'll see if he's worth that pick.
Well, you're talking about one of the most highly criticized GMs and their draft moves over the past 3 years for Dave Gettleman. You talked about Saquon Barkley and all the different franchise quarterbacks that could have been taken in that draft, and I go back to how about Andrew Thomas? I mean, he was at left tackle that was supposed to be the guy, and look how the guys drafted after him have done. Like, Wirfs, Beckham, Willis, they've done better, right? So I think Danny Dimes' future is tied into Dave Gettleman's, because now you have Sterling Shepard,
no
Darius Slayton.
Ingram.
You have all the weapons you need, a formidable defense.
No excuses.
It's either you rise to the challenge, or if you don't, Dave Gettleman will be gone.
He's got to feel that way. There's no question. But there is opportunity here with the Giants.
Oh, I agree. I'm excited about the move.
We're looking at it from – it's such a typical New York take here, right? We're looking at it, what could go bad? Instead of looking at it to saying, I kind of like what they're building here. I mean, I really do. I'm not a Giants fan, but I'm looking at what they've got. And if Saquon is healthy, Daniel Jones, he had that hamstring issue in the season. It was affecting him. There's no doubt about it. But you're just seeing the additions they make, the players coming back. The defense last year was a problem early, but you know what, it did get better later in the year.
Yeah,
they added some good pieces. Blake Martinez was a nice addition to them last year.
Bradbury's a beast, and they got a Dory.
The draft has gone well for them as well at certain points of the draft. Now, I know DeAndre Baker, that's one that –
Logan Ryan was a leader that they brought in. I think that they needed that type of leadership in there. But all I'm saying is it enough? Right, because when you look at Dallas, and I just told you how Dallas can improve their defense, and their offense is going to be crazy. You think about what Dak Prescott was doing, 500 yards, averaging 500 yards a game. Is that that defense is great, but is it good enough to stop that productivity that Dallas is going to give them? Then, listen, the defending champs in that division is the Washington football team.
I would say, well, vice versa, though. Dallas, they have to retool their defense, too. The Giants' offensive scheme could give them a lot of issues, too, though, but that seems like a shootout game.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying on the Washington football team
as well. So, like, the worst thing that you hate is to spend all this money and it's still not enough. Yeah. It would have been more than enough last year. But this year, you're going to have to be even better. So can Joe Judge motivate? Can he get these guys playing at a great level? And can he also get them to be able to execute in situational football? Because when you have an equally matched division, it comes down to execution. It comes down to game planning.
I felt they did that.
Comes down to coaching.
I mean, even the way he handled the whole Golden Tate situation. That style of discipline, I feel like, is now imposed into the culture of the Giants organization.
I'm just saying, but Dan Quinn matters. Right?
Sure.
To fix that defense. Yeah. They had the talent. They just had the scheme. Mike Nolan is outdated. He was on the last team with Atlanta that had a horrible team. Right? So you think about, you know, what team's going to pick up. It's going to be intriguing. Right? But it could cost Dave Gettleman a job if these guys don't live up to their contracts.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Barton Hahn sitting in with J. Will. Presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. We'll continue this conversation on the Giants because it is a very curious thing with this team, where they are headed. But also in NFL news, on Monday, attorney Tony Busby said he will submit affidavits and evidence from several women alleging inappropriate conduct and sexual assault by Deshaun Watson to the Houston Police Department and the Houston District Attorney. Busby also said he will request a grand jury to consider the evidence he provides. If a grand jury is called, it would then decide through witness testimony closed to the public whether there is enough evidence to succeed at trial and whether charges should be brought against Watson by the state of Texas. KJZ, Barton Hahn with J. Will. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff Bowles joins us right now. The head coach of Ohio knocking off Virginia, as you heard there on the call. Played Creighton today, a 13 seed, by the way. Can another one get to the Sweet 16? That's a 6 o'clock game, and he joins us right now. And
my man, Jeff, what's up, brother? Congratulations, first and foremost.
Appreciate it. Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
So have you been watching the rest of the tournament? I'm sure you've been catching up on it, although you're probably watching a ton of film, as coaches often do, and get their players ready. But you're noticing the upsets, and is it a bit of a motivation to say, well, let's join that party in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's what March Madness is about, right? The upsets, and, you know, why not us?
You know, what was it like getting such a monumental win over UVA, you know while coaching your alma mater?
Yeah, it's such a surreal feeling, you know, coming into the NCAA tournament. That's every kid's dream. And that was my dream when I took over the job 2 years ago. Cut down the nets in Cleveland, come over to Indianapolis, and you know, play a great team against Virginia. And we knew it was going to be a low possession scoring game. They're the lowest tempo team in the country. And I thought our guys did a great job of executing, you know, the last 5 minutes and made big time plays.
JB, I've known you for a long time, since your assistant coach days at Ohio State. Obviously, you've had a ton of experiences there. What experiences did you learn there that were you know, were actually able to transition into the experience that you're having now with this Ohio team and how you helped them achieve this goal?
You know, it's a little different, Jay, being at Ohio State. You know, when you, even if you lost a game late in the year, you're playing for seeding. You know, here at Ohio University, we had to win 3 games in 3 days to be able to get here. And I think the best thing our guys have done, they played loose, they played with a lot of confidence, and most importantly, they're having fun playing.
Coach, I really love the story about Jason Preston because it's close to my heart. He likes to write, and that's something that I always love to do as well. He's also a terrific player. I can't say that I was that, but he's writing for a Pistons fan site. Bart, you'd love this, right? Big Pistons fan. And yet he's also a really talented basketball player. Is it that type of player you like? Is not only is he, you know, a good player, a hardworking player, and somebody that's dedicated to his game, but passionate about the sport in general to a point where, you know, I'm going to write a blog about my favorite team.
You talk about the American story. Like, his life is a movie. And if your viewers haven't heard about it, Google Jason Preston. You know, he was 5 years ago, he was 6 feet tall, 140 pounds, you know, scored 52 points his whole senior year in high school. And now he's on one of the biggest stages in America, you know, playing for a chance to go to the Sweet 16. And as good a player he is, he's a better person. And just, we would not be here without him.
Now, how are you keeping the kids focused and still loose at the same time, as now, you know, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel? They can see, you know, the opportunity to play in bigger games. How are you keeping them, you know, grounded and saying, okay, listen, this, as the stage gets bigger, you know, we just got to stay who we are?
Yeah, that's a great point and the million-dollar question. Yesterday, or the 2 nights ago, when we came back from the win against Virginia, I told them, I said, hey, look, we can be cool, we can be comfortable. You know, we're going to get a lot of attention out of this. Or we can understand what it took to get us here. And, you know, that's playing with confidence, playing free, playing together. And, you know, that's the thing we want to do going into tonight's game.
Jeff, how do you beat Creighton? What's the strategy? What kind of things are you going to be looking to do defensively to slow down this team?
Yeah, if you really look at the numbers, Jay, their offensive numbers and ours are very similar. You know, they got 5 guys in double figures. We have got 5 guys in double figures. They shoot 37% from three. We shoot 36.5% from three. You know, 18, 11 assist turnover. I can go on down the line. And it starts with transition defense. You know, we got to get back in transition. Can't give them wide open looks. They got 4 guys on the floor that can make threes. You know, that'll be a big part of our game plan.
We're talking with Jeff Bowles, Ohio men's basketball coach, as they play Creighton later tonight. KJZ, Bart Hahn kicking it with Jay Will. So Paul Mills, the head coach at Oral Roberts, said that he's going to use the off day to do laundry because he ran out of clothes. Did you pack light, and are you hoping to have to do some laundry yourself?
Yeah, 100%. We came right from Cleveland on you know, Sunday morning, and you know, that's the thing with all this, and I give Dan Gavitt like a lot of credit for putting this all together and doing what they've been able to do. But, you know, we weren't able to celebrate with our families. Couldn't go back to Athens and celebrate on Court Street with our peers. And, you know, we came straight here. But laundry, if you're doing laundry at this point in the tournament, you're going to get that.
JB, what did you see in that game against Ohio State? Obviously, ORU with a huge win there. What did you see there? Were you shocked by that, just like we were?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the thing about it is you got to be better for 40 minutes. And anybody who's playing in this tournament right now is obviously pretty good. And if you're a mid-major playing in this tournament, you've probably been winning, you know, a lot of games recently. And, you know, the Big Ten was a bloodbath. You know, who knows? I'm not sure how many are out right now from the Big Ten. But, you know, they beat up on each other. You know, you're excited to get to the NCAA tournament to get away from everyone else. But I was definitely surprised.
So, Coach, I want to ask you, this is, again, related to Ohio State, but something that I'm sure you as a coach and probably a lot of coaches right now might even be talking to their players about or just being aware of, and that is E.J. Liddell, who received a lot of threats on social media from I think, a couple of accounts about Ohio State losing. And it's very serious enough for him to present it and bring it public. Do you guys, and again, you're in a situation where you're coaching kids, you're trying to win, you're trying to teach them things about winning, about persevering and all that stuff. And this is like a dark part of the world that, because of social media, can enter their minds. And the last thing you want is a distraction like that. Is it something that you would talk to your players about? Or is it something that you certainly want to keep – you certainly want to keep an eye on it. But would you talk to your players about it because it's in the headlines right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've talked about, and social media is good and bad. And if you look at it, these young people have so many distractions in their lives right now. And, you know, if you have a good game, you're the best. You're awesome. You know, thank you for being here. You have a bad game, you stink, get out of here, go kill yourself. You know, you don't belong here. And I don't care who you are. You know, a lot of these kids, they search their names and the negative sits in there. But I think it does get out of control. It's something that it is a problem and totally uncalled for.
Are we getting mental health for some of these student athletes so they can learn how to deal with these things? And also, you know, just dealing with being in the pressure of playing basketball in the midst of a pandemic, we understand that they can't go out and celebrate and enjoy, you know, the typical joy that you would have for winning and having a huge win. How are you keeping their heads on straight? And are you guys trying to provide some type of assistance for them to be able to have the tools to be able to fight whenever they feel depressed?
I'll be honest with you. That might be one of the biggest, you know, resources that is available right now. You know, forget the head coach, assistant coaches, you know, strength coach, trainer, you know, a mental health specialist. And, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I've been through some things with my family, but, you know, these young people, they're not living a normal college life. You know, they're asked to, you know, be in their dorm room, social distance. We've been through two pauses where we've had multiple guys in a dorm room for a 10-day period and they can't leave. And, you know, that's tough. I don't care who you are. And, you know, the stress, the anxiety, the depression, you know, a mental health specialist is just as important as anybody right now.
Coach, we appreciate you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today on a game day. Good luck today. We'll be rooting for you.
Get that win, JB. Congrats.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, Jeff Bowles, Ohio men's basketball coach, another double-digit seed, a 13 seed, looking to join the party in the Sweet 16. Keyshawn, J. Will, Barton Hahn, hanging out with J. Will. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, when I was in college, I would check my phone all the time. Yeah. I would go online. I'll be real with you. Like, yeah. If I would have a bad game, I would see my name my sophomore year, go down draft boards. I would see what people would have to say about me. And we didn't have social media the way they have it now. Yeah. And I wasn't isolated. I wasn't quarantining. I was allowed to be out and about amongst people. So if I was that way back then, and now you're telling me that young adults have to stay in their room.
They're stuck in their room. Yeah.
You know, you have a bad game and you're looking at your phone, which we all do anyway, scrolling through social media, and you're going to go down this deep, dark hole.
Or your friends will send it to you. Look what they said about you, man. Look what they said. Like, don't pay attention to it.
Don't pay attention to it. You're paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me not to pay attention?
Forget about what they said on ESPN.com. Well, what did they say on ESPN?
Yeah, my mama could argue with people on the line. Like, Mom, I didn't even know. I don't check this stuff. They're arguing, and they bring it to your attention. Then it just sends you down that rabbit hole that you don't want to go to. That's why I'm, you know, concerned with these mental health issues that, you know, you have with these kids.
But, Bart, it's one thing when somebody says, you suck, you're horrible. Duke sucks, your school, like all that stuff, fine. Like people trash talk to me every single day of my life. Put you over there in the corner. I'm not worried about you. But when you start saying things like you should die.
Yeah.
Or like, kill you or things, you're like, whoa, damn.
Like, hold up, bro.
Now who are you?
Yeah.
Like as I see faces around me as these kids are on college campuses kicking it. Yeah. As we know, everybody has different protocols depending upon which states you're in. Yeah. Like Texas wide open, right? Like I don't know who you are. Are you coming at me? Like this, even if people say, well, people don't really mean it. You don't know that. Yeah, I don't know you don't really mean that. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what else he said, too, that catches my attention on this? It's the one thing about the social media negativity. It's another thing. But he said they couldn't even celebrate their conference championship.
They go back to the room.
Like, you couldn't do it with the families. You had to just – sure, your team. And that's the fun part, right? Cam Krutwig, he's going to join us later in the show. That's the one thing I loved after the game. He said, like, the best of it is what we were doing after the game, being on the court celebrating with teammates. That's the moment that matters the most to you as a player.
Yeah.
And so you got that, but there's also that. How many players have we seen so far in this tournament, after a big play, look up in the stands? Their parents, they can't see them right now, but exactly. They point to them, touch the heart. Like, whatever it is, it's like, at least you're there, but I can't enjoy this moment with you. Yeah, and if you think, well, they're in a nice hotel and they're getting fed and it's – yeah, that's great. But there is that still, that feeling like I can't even enjoy this with my family. I can't have this time with them. Yeah. That all will affect you. It is a lot of downtime. And as we know, you know,
boredom.
You start scrolling through social media, right?
Yes.
They're still students. So, yes. I mean, I bet you they embrace the fact that they're able to just go out, be able to go work out. They probably love for practice to come so they can get out of their rooms and be around each other and kind of interact. I couldn't imagine. I don't know if I could do it. You know, I don't know. I would have to transfer to Florida or Texas so I can go do whatever the hell I want to do.
Well, I mean, it is spring break down in Miami. They have an 8 p.m. curfew, by the way.
Let's see how that works out for Miami. Yeah, let's do a prop bet on that one.
KJZ, Barton Hogg kicking it with Jay Will. So, you know, we'll continue this conversation with Jay Billis, who's going to join us next, because, you know, that this is interesting. I'm sure he'll have a take on it, but also what's happening in the tournament so far. It's been exciting from the very start. We'll discuss that with Jay Billis, but coming up, that's coming up next. But first, our Jay Will has this from DraftKings.
This weekend's UFC 260 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at a huge cash prize. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe and secure, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. How nice is that? Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KJZ to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code KJZ to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The NBA trade deadline is Thursday, and we'll be following all the teams making moves to be a title contender. Making Moves, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lewis has it, turns, fires a three from the right corner. That's an air ball. Rebound tip. Still loose inside. It's over. It's over. Oral Roberts wins. Oral Roberts is going to the Sweet 16. 81-78, the final score. The 15 seed is among the final 16 remaining. What a game. What an effort by the Golden Eagles. They knocked out Ohio State in the first round and now have knocked off Florida.
And that call, courtesy of Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. And yes, Oral Roberts advances to the Sweet 16, the 15 seed, knocking off the 7 seed Florida, 81-78. So there will be at least four double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 for the third time since CD began in 1979. Seven teams have won outright as at least a seven-point underdog. That's the most through the round of 32 all time and the second most in an entire tournament. Oral Roberts has the two biggest upsets of the tournament. On to the NBA. The Nets beat the Wizards 113-106. Blake Griffin made his Brooklyn debut.
Get he got
this.
A dunk.
He dunked the basketball.
But he wasn't confident about so it. Nice. You dunk like this, you swing, that means you barely
He only
it.
Had two damn points.
That was his 2 points. His first dunk, guy, since December 12, 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
That's only a span of 25 games where he didn't dunk, but hey. You dunk, therefore you are, if you're Blake Griffin. He came off the bench for the first time in the regular season in his career. 2 points tied for the fewest in his career. On to the NFL. The Rams agreed to terms with veteran wide receiver DeSean Jackson on Sunday. 34-year-old receiver. Played just 8 games over the last 2 seasons due to injuries, but over the last 5 seasons, DeSean Jackson's average depth of target is 16.7 yards, second highest among receivers, with at least 150 targets. SportsCenter brought to you by Indeed. It's an instant gratification world. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. It searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver you people who fit your job description right away. To learn more about all Indeed's great hiring tools, visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's amazing what happens when you get a group of young men who believe. And these guys believed.
The Loyola Chicago Ramblers have upset Illinois.
The Baylor Bears are on to the Sweet 16.
We've already proved so many people wrong, so why not keep going?
Game over! The Razorbacks are headed for the Sweet 16.
I can't even tell you how bad I wanted. It's just, you know, a will to win.
He looked us in our eyes and told us, you know, this is our game. We got to win.
It's over. It's over. Oral Roberts wins.
So I believe that we could win, and, you know, we just came out victorious.
Villanova puts on a clinic. They're off to the Sweet 16. The Oregon State Beavers turning the Sweet 16 into a double-digit dance party.
The madness began fast and furious on Friday. It continued through the weekend, continues today with more games. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Barton Hahn kicking it with Jay Will. And let's bring in Jay Billis on the Goodyear Hotline. It's brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Jay, let's begin with this E.J. Liddell story that we've been talking about throughout the show. And just, again, how should the NCAA, we know the school is backing the kid, as they should, but what about the NCAA, how they should handle these threats and the social media attacks that he had to deal with?
Well, I don't know it's necessarily an NCAA issue. I mean, everybody should support E.J. Liddell, and any person that gets physical threats, any sort of threats, whether it's on the internet or social media or whatever. And I think the right thing to do was to alert the authorities to it and make sure they can follow up on it. But we should all, speak up and say this is wrong. I don't know that it's necessarily for the association to do something about it. They've got enough time, difficulty making sure that they treat women the right way with the way they do their tournaments, and that's within their purview and something they should be concentrated on. But I think we can all speak up that this is the wrong way to behave. And the authorities should step forward and do their jobs here too.
JB, we were having a spirited debate this morning about Porter Moser, the head coach of Loyola Chicago, with the success he's had at that university, getting them to a Final Four, winning their conference multiple times. Can he build Loyola Chicago into a Gonzaga-like program? What are the odds, obviously, for a guy like that to stay at a position at Loyola Chicago instead of taking one of these bigger jobs like a Marquette or potentially getting offered an Indiana job?
It depends, Jay, what he wants to do with his coaching career. You've heard this and probably said this yourself. Don't mess with happy. If he's happy at Loyola, stay there. Loyola is certainly paying more money to keep him. Will they pay as much as Indiana or some other places? Probably not. But that's true of a number of jobs. I mean, I'm not sure that Loyola is going to be able to do what Gonzaga has done, because they're going to have to throw a lot of money at that. Like, Gonzaga has been traveling private for a long time and built facilities and all that stuff. If Loyola wants to do that, they can do it. But it's going to take money to do that. and a significant amount of it. But I think the point for me, you know, not just what Porter's going to do, because that's an individual decision he's got to make about his career. I mean, the trend has been take the bigger job, take more money. It's easier to win it all at a Power Five school, and that's true. But the way they play is something that I think other teams and other coaches should take note of, especially the way they defend. You know, they do such a good job. A lot of teams switch, but Loyola switches up into you to take something away, and they do it consistently. And Loyola makes you finish tough twos without over helping. Like a lot of defenses try to take away everything. They don't. They're not coming off a corner shooter ever. And they're not going to let you play drive and kick and over help where the help really doesn't do all that much. It's just for show, and then kick it to an open shooter and they're taking step in threes. So they really beat Illinois with scheme, and Illinois never really adjusted. That was the thing that amazed me, was that both on offense and defense, but I couldn't believe that Illinois didn't guard Cameron Krutwig. And they just let him. It would be the equivalent of football of, you know, a defense saying, well, let's not rush the passer. Let's let the passer just see if they can find somebody. We'll just cover all the receivers. That didn't make any sense to me. But you know, Illinois was a great team. They just had a really bad day. And you give a lot of credit to Loyola for that, because they forced that bad day.
Was Loyola Chicago misseeded? Because I know they were, when it came out, they were 8. I thought they were more along the lines of a 5 or a 6 seed, JB, just because of the defensive efficiency by KenPom had them the best in the country. And with the way they had played, they seem like they're way better than the 8 seed.
They are way better than an 8 seed, but it depends, Jay, how the committee's going to look at this stuff. So if you're going to look at their schedule, you'd say, well, they didn't play that many high-value games. They didn't win that many against that many high-value teams. But I do think you have to take a look at analytics, and KenPom.com is probably the most recognized. There are a whole bunch of them, whether it's Synergy or whatever. But they're ranked in the top 10 all year. Now, unless you think that's some kind of anomaly, a team that went to the Final Four in 2018 and still has two of those players, you know, Lucas Williamson and Cameron Krutwig, both of whom are really good players, and they've got outstanding defenders. Like, that's not fluky. Now, whether you say 6 or 4, like the analytics say they should have been a 3 or 4. But the committee did misseed a fair amount of teams. I didn't think it was crazy, but like BYU wasn't a 6, and you know, we could talk about some others that I think were wrong. What really I think happened was on Selection Sunday, and I know this happened with me. We were all so happy to have a bracket, we didn't really pick it apart like we normally would. So we gave the committee a little bit of a break, but to me the at the end of the day, whether they were a 4 or whatever, Illinois shouldn't have had to play them in the second game, but it doesn't matter when they play them. Illinois was a 1. They shouldn't have lost to them at all. And that's sort of the issue for Illinois. When you look at some of these upsets, like we had a bunch of double-digit seed upsets. So I think 9 double-digit seeds won games, and a couple of them have won more, or 3 of them have won more than one game, which is a bit unusual. But 5 of those 9 are major conference Power 5 teams. And so I don't really count those as like major upsets to have Syracuse, you know, and Maryland and all that stuff winning games. The real upsets are like Oral Roberts when North Texas won. Abilene Christian is a 14 beating Texas, and then they have an opportunity to beat UCLA, who's another double digit seed that I don't think that's an upset. If UCLA beats, you know, beats somebody, you know, when UCLA beat BYU, that's not an upset. They were the favorite in Vegas. So these Power 5 double digit seeds, those aren't upsets. The real upsets are the little guy.
KJZ talking with Jay Billis, Barton Hahn sitting in with Jay Will. So I guess who is the most dangerous team left then, Jay, in this field?
The most dangerous team in the field. Well, Gonzaga is the best team, but if you're talking about among the teams that, you know, weren't favored to get to a Final Four, I think it's Loyola. You know, that whole bracket. So the Midwest region they lost so many of the top teams. So they've got Houston left, then Loyola as the 8, and they've got an 11 in Syracuse, a 12 in Oregon State. I mean, you know, like, look, I think Houston can beat everybody left, but I kind of favor Loyola to make the Final Four now after that bracket just exploded, because Houston, they're a great defensive team. They're the best offensive rebounding team left. It was them in North Carolina all season long as far as getting second, you know, high value second shots. So I do favor Houston to win their next game against Syracuse, but it's difficult to go against that zone. The problem is Syracuse doesn't rebound out of it as well as they have in the past. But Loyola plays in such a way that I think they're going to be very, very difficult to beat. And I actually favor them as an 8 seed to get out of there.
Just getting started. Jay Billis, we appreciate you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, JB.
Thank you.
All right. So are we about to get the Philly special sequel? Wouldn't that be amazing? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
The Eagles just ended a quarterback controversy by agreeing to trade Carson Wentz. Would they really invite another one by drafting a QB sixth overall this April?
Would you take a quarterback there to compete with Hurts?
Absolutely.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin.
He deserved an Emmy, man, or was it an Oscar for what he did in Charm City, that movie. Straight to DVD, by the way.
It's a series, though, right?
Straight to DVD.
Charm City. It's a dope series, by the way.
Yeah. Should check it out. In for...
No, I'm talking about the movie.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
In okay. With J. Will.
Not so great.
Bart, just, you never know where
I was
going.
So hyped. The music had me bouncing. Like, I'm like, all right, this is the energy I need. And you just.
DJ Killer Groove.
Put me right down.
I mean, he gave me inspiration that I could be an actor.
Well, let's kill a little more groove if you're in Philly. or maybe not. The return of, or the potential return of Nick Foles. According to Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN NFL insider, the Eagles are currently involved in talks with the Bears about a possible trade for the Super Bowl MVP. And, I mean, the idea, they originally were going to use Foles to trade for Carson Wentz. That obviously didn't happen as he went to the Colts. But now Fowler believes there's still a chance that Foles could return to where his statue is outside the building and he'll never have to pay for a drink for the rest of his life. Here's Fowler on SportsCenter talking about it.
I wouldn't take a Nick Foles Philadelphia reunion off the table right now, because a few weeks ago, when Chicago was looking to get Carson Wentz, they included Nick Foles in a potential package to Philadelphia. Now, Wentz ultimately went to Indianapolis, but those talks had been ongoing. They're in place. All they would have to do this week is revive them. Philadelphia's looking for a high-level backup, somebody to come in and support Jalen Hurts. Meanwhile, Chicago is just looking to dump some salary right now. They're in some cap problems. Nick Foles carries a 6.6 cap hit that they could get off their books, and I eventually think he'll be traded. Philadelphia is an option for him.
Fine, Chicago. You want to dump salary? Go dump that stuff somewhere else. Don't you dump that on a first-year head coach and then bring in Nick Foles back to a situation where last year – you just had a situation where your two quarterbacks are going against each other and Jalen Hurts end up running Carson Wentz out of town. No more Doug Peterson. No more Super Bowl champion head coach. Now you want to bring Nick Foles, a guy, back to the same situation where he has a statue outside the stadium. As soon as Jalen Hurts has a bad game, what do you think fans are going to be doing? They're going to start cheering his name.
Yep.
Sir, Nick Foles, bring him back. Why do you want to create that type of tension for your young quarterback when you should be building pieces around him? I know you need a backup quarterback, but if wait for Marcus Mariota. Go after a Marcus Mariota. Why am I trying to go after Nick Foles?
Hello, we play to win the game.
Nick Foles is helping you win games. I saw that play out in Chicago. How'd that work out?
Listen, Tricky Nicky is something different in Philly. Come on, man. That's why wherever he go, he get the free whiz-whiz. He get his extra for whiz-whiz wherever he goes. Listen, you want a guy that can come in and be a professional. Did you see their coach's first press conference? He need all the help he can damn get. He might need to go and go to say that, you know what, today's not your day, Jalen. I got to put in a veteran. This guy's going to come in cool, calm, and collect. Listen, Nick Foles understands that it's over for him. He understands that he's a journeyman. He's going to be that veteran backup. He can make $10 million a year for the next 20 years and catch up with the McConnells of the world and grab him an extra $100 million on the way out. But listen, right now, he is the best option because you got to understand, what if the young guy struggles? Right, listen, he was able to play okay last year. Right. But what's going to happen is now all these defensive coordinators had an opportunity to try and to break him down and see what he doesn't do well. Right. They still couldn't protect him last year. So it may become a point in the season where you might have to tell him to take a damn seat. And listen, you're a second round draft pick. This job isn't guaranteed to you. What you don't want to have is have a young quarterback that doesn't feel like he has anybody pushing him. Right, that gets comfortable. Right, we saw that a lot with Mark Sanchez. He had guys that you knew that if you struggled, you weren't gonna get put out the game. Right, I witnessed it with Kyle Bowler. I watched Kyle Bowler have eight turnovers. We didn't have anybody to go save him from himself, and we lost by two. You'll lose your team that way.
But Bar, I know you need somebody to kind of help you navigate.
You want Marcus Mariota
and push.
You don't want that smoke. Marcus Mariota still thinks he's a damn starter. Well, so he's not going to support Jalen Hurts.
But that's on an even basis, though. That's on an even. Like, go ahead and fight for it. Like, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's the past history for Nick Foles for me, right? It's the fan bases that will get behind Nick Foles because of what he's been able to bring to Philadelphia. He brought them a Super Bowl. Yeah.
But they know he's the prize.
I know, but he
if you bring in Marcus Mariota, he could potentially be your future. If Marcus Mariota gets in there and he takes a hold of, then they're going to be saying, man, well, we like Marcus. Same skill set. A guy like Nick Foles is going to teach him the ropes about struggling because Nick has been in the highest highs and the lower lows. He went from winning a Super Bowl, Philly special, to getting – he got his job ran from a dude with Levi jeans shorts on, man, with moose knuckle everywhere.
Wait,
man.
Let me ask you this question. You actually think that Nick Foles believes that he can't be that quarterback again?
I think he's comfortable in his own skin.
See,
I made plenty of money. I got money from the Rams. I got money from KC, saved my career. I went and got paid and doubled down in Jacksonville, and then I'm stealing money at this point.
But see, I think when he comes back to Philadelphia, if that happens, give him that electric shot. I think I could be the guy again. This is where I was able to accomplish the biggest feat of them
sorry.
All.
We're protecting Jalen Hurts' feelings.
No.
I'm so sorry.
Bart, I don't think it's about that. And let me just jump in here because that was a spirited debate. I love it. But I just, here's, again, the perspective from the ugly media guy. I'll be that guy because that's what we do. We're cynics. And we look at this and say, well, what are we doing here? Is this sort of like, let's bring back a guy everybody likes because right now we got a lot of negative press. Let's bring in somebody that everybody likes that we can associate with. The owner loves him. Obviously, Roseman, like, you did something great for us. Let's bring him in. Nobody's saying that he's going to be the starter, but the threat of it's always going to be there for that, for the fact that he is so popular, that he did something that no quarterback in the history of the franchise could do, which is win a Super Bowl game. He did that. So when you have him in the room, that problem or that potential problem exists whether or not he thinks he could be a starter. It don't matter what he thinks. It matters what everybody outside thinks, creating that noise. That's all I'm saying.
Have you seen Nate Sudfeld?
Bringing in the noise.
Have you seen Nate Sudfeld? The Giants probably got him on the most wanted list. Like, we see this dude, we owe him a talking to because they tanked the game. It was tanking. It was considered tanking with their current backup.
Their own
players.
Go get
me Joe Flacco.
Right.
Go get Joe Flacco.
Well, Flacco's visiting.
Yeah, he's visiting. You can go visit a lot of places. Just because you're visiting don't mean you're going to buy a permanent residence there.
He's visiting. Joe Flacco's going to have options, right? So, I mean, listen, and from Chicago's standpoint, they can't have an undecided leader there either. So they need to decide because if you have Andy Dalton there, if you have Nick Foles there, then it's going to be confusion about who deserves to play. You need to have somebody to say, this is our guy until we find a better guy. Right now, you know, you think about Dalton, you think about Foles, it's the same player, right? You just a guy that's just a placeholder.
Why do
I'm
I
saying,
feel like, go ahead.
Go out, as soon as Jalen Hurts has one bad game,
mm-hmm. Damn straight.
That's going to start.
And that's what
going to start. Don't have a bad game. Is that what you're saying, Bart? Don't
step have a bad your, game? Step your game up, right? Mm-hmm. Pressure makes diamonds, right? But steel sharpens steel.
I don't think that's going to bother Jalen Hurts. I think he's competitive, and I think
he's a guy who's got his spot ran already. He's already done it in college.
But what I'm saying, it's different when it's just somebody else that you feel like you're on even playing field with, instead of somebody like Nick Foles that has all this history that's going to be additive to that.
Right. Okay. Well, again, I feel like they're a year away from a rebuild anyway. This is just
a year away from a year away.
A year away from a year away. That's where they are. But they have that Super Bowl ring, and if you're a fan,
what do they do if they draft a quarterback too?
No doubt about that. I mean, you take it when you're going to have troubled years come up after that. Two GMs in one city. Whose seat is hotter? We'll get to that next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, ESPN App.